Chapter 8. A Chaotic Situation. I ran from my hiding place in a total panic. I saw the flames coming from the hay and the barn filling with smoke. Quickly, I took the horses' buckets, which fortunately had water in them, and emptied them on the fire, managing to extinguish it. But by now, the barn was full of smoke, and the horses were getting nervous. I ran to the first stall and locked the gate. Just as I was approaching the second stall, Sarah's beautiful horse, Black Thunder, ran out of the barn through the open door. I grabbed a rope, jumped onto Mr. Smith's brown horse, and galloped after him. I had never ridden without a saddle before, but there was no time to put one on. I bounced on the horse's back, scared that I was going to fly off at any second, and wishing I had taken some riding lessons. I managed to reach Sarah's horse quickly, and after a few attempts with the rope, I succeeded in getting it around his neck and slowing him down. It took me some time to get the horse back to the barn. I secured both horses in their stalls and then checked on the fire. It was extinguished, but there was still some smoke coming from it. Just then, I heard Sarah and her parents approaching the barn. I had an impulse to wait and tell them what had happened and to say goodbye to Sarah properly. But I knew that this would only delay them, and I couldn't bear to say goodbye. So I hid behind the hay and observed them. "Someone was here in the barn and tried to set fire to the hay," Dr. Smith cried. "It's still smoking." "And they left their lamp here," Sarah added, pointing to the little oil lamp which had been forgotten. It was still burning brightly. She took the lamp and held it up. That's when they all saw the hateful message written on the wooden beam above. "They know we planned to escape," Mrs. Smith said. "Somebody was trying to stop us. Maybe they tried to frighten the horses away by lighting the fire." "Well, it's lucky for us that the fire didn't burn the barn down," Dr. Smith replied. "The wind probably extinguished it." "Come on, Sarah, we must hurry. They could come for us at any moment." As Sarah approached her horse, she saw something shiny on the ground. She picked it up and realized what it was. I touched my neck and discovered that my star pendant wasn't there anymore. I looked at Sarah's face and saw a terrible expression of pain and disbelief on her face. "She knows I was here," I thought. "But she can't think I did this. I could never cause her harm." I was horrified to see her looking like this, and I had an impulse to come out of my hiding place and explain, hug her, comfort her, and ask her not to leave. But I didn't. I stayed where I was. There was no time for explanations. Any delay could cost them their lives. "Let's go," Dr. Smith whispered, and the three of them rode out into the darkness. As I watched them leave, I had mixed feelings. I was happy they were running away from this dangerous place, but I was sad that Sarah was leaving. I took my pendant and tied it around my neck again, sadly. Did she hate me now because of this necklace? That thought broke my heart.